you've just heard Labrish with Haptah Selassie. We'll be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and WBAI.org. It is time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
This is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When he comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm thinking it's about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're listening to all Toke 'em if you've got 'em. But please don't do it around me. That stuff stinks. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
We're going to talk about various things in this program. You can find out a little bit more about that stuff by going to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where we'll have a web page for this particular radio program. When you get to glib.com, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen, and at the top of that, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 172nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in this multiverse and all other multiverses of this past week was: we are holding at the huge total of 125 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. That is such a huge number that it actually caused an earthquake a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, you may have heard about it. Caused by our huge number of followers on Twitter, because all the electrons got pooled up in one place and it caused an earthquake. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, May 8th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. At the April 10th LSB meeting, we had a lot of obstruction going on. There are people on the local station board who are intent on making everything take much longer than it needs to, and then they will campaign to get reelected to the local station board by saying, "Look, those meetings are a mess and they don't get things done." Yeah, that's the way some people work. A program note. We're back! Yeah, the big emergency thon for the tower rent came a week after our scheduled preemption for the 52-week schedule. so we've not been on the air since March 30th. It had looked like we'd be preempted again in a couple more weeks, but now we're being told that we're on, so we should be on the air a good number of weeks in a row now. We'll see. We'll keep everyone posted. Up at glib.com, I keep a listing of when we're on. I couldn't post a pre-programmed blurb on WBAI.org this week, unfortunately. So I did a fast Twitter thing, and I did that ahead of time. Yeah, the big emergency tower fund fundraising thing going on takes up the entire front page of the website, of the website. And so you can't see what else is going on. It's all pitching, and that's it. Even though we're not doing all pitching at this point in time. They really ought to fix that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website, and that CDC website says that as of their last reading, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,188,991, which is quite a drop in the number of weekly COVID-19 deaths since our last program on March 30th. The pandemic, however, is not over. Pickles of the North and I are mostly still keeping our masks on. We're going to get our spring booster shots soon. We don't want to get this disease. A brief program note. We're back! The big emergency thon for the tower rent came a week after our scheduled preemption of the 52-week schedule. Management has put out a 52-week schedule that says when you're going to be preempted. However, since we have this big emergency with owing the tower rent, which is at 4 Times Square, that's where we have our transmitter, and we use the antenna there to broadcast over the air. And so we do that there, and we have owed them rent for months and months. And it was getting to the point where some people were very concerned that the people at 4 Times Square could just flip a switch and take us off the air because we owed them so much money. So management was going to start pitching in May. However, the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation said, May, you may not be on the air in May. Do it now. So on April 8th, WBAI began to really go ahead and pitch like mad. And wall-to-wall pitching for the tower fund. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so it was something that just happened. We were off 1 week for ordinary extra pitching. And then the next week happened to be this emergency pitch fund thing going on. So there is that. And it had looked like we'd be preempted again in a couple more weeks. But now we're being told that we're on, so we should be on the air a good number of weeks in a row now. We'll keep everyone posted up at glib.com on the back of the book page. I do keep a notice of the schedule as far as we're allowed to know it, and you can look on there and see what's happening. I've recently amended that a bit for new information that came in. So we'll keep everybody posted. And I'll note that I could not post a pre-program blurb this week, which I generally do every week. It's a full blurb. And, well, I couldn't do it this week. The reason was the front page of the website is completely taken up with the emergency tower fund pitching. So I did a fast Twitter thing, Twitter X, whatever it's called this week. So I did a very fast thing up on Twitter where I can't write as much. And if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter, and you'll get more information about when we're cut off and what we're doing that way. All right. And now for the insect news. Yeah, the spotted lanternflies, you may remember them from last summer and autumn, that they were showing up and being a real problem and are predicted to be really terrible going on here. And we had that then. And then, of course, winter came and they couldn't fly around anymore. It wasn't that much of a winter in terms of temperature. And, well, Pickles saw a swarm of them earlier this week. Yeah, the spotted lanternflies are hatching their eggs and coming out now and flying around. And Pickles saw a whole swarm. And we immediately found one in the apartment. I mean, holy hell. They first start coming out and hatching and swarming, and we immediately get one in the apartment. It what did it do? It somehow came through the screen?
I really am not certain how this happened. It came through the screen or through our imperfect windows, perhaps. But it was sitting there on the wrong side of the screen. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Then I took a rolled up newspaper and smashed it. They're really they're not like house flies that have this sense that when you come at them, they can tell it and they fly away right away. And they do it very expertly, ordinary house flies. By the way, if you want to swat a house fly, don't come at it from the front. It will see that movement and it's fast. If you want to swat a house fly, come at it from the back of it. Come at it from the back, you're more likely to get it then because its perception of movement is not as good from the rear. Anyway, the spotted lanternfly didn't have anything, so I just blasted it and it was dead and we threw it away. I suspect that invasive spotted lanternfly species is probably here to stay because there are now lots of them here. I wasn't aware that they were around before last year. They may have been, but a lot of them were around last year. And the fact that they're already spawning here in this spring tells me that, yeah, these things are going to be around here and they're going to be permanent. Another permanent invasive species that we can do nothing about. Oh, boy. Speaking of insects, we have a big thing going on with cicadas. Well, probably not around here. Around here, we're going to be getting the very ordinary cicadas we get every summer who come out and go in the trees for a while. And, you know, some people really don't like them. Some people don't care. But anyway, there are going to be a trillion cicadas coming out. And the thing is, there are two broods. There's the brood 19, also called the Great Southern Brood of Cicadas, and brood 13, also called the Northern Illinois Brood. And so in the Southeast and the Midwest, we're going to get two different broods coming in. One has a 17-year cycle. The other has a 13-year cycle. And what happens with the cicada, of course, is they're like bamboo. How are they like bamboo? They're like bamboo because a part of how they've evolved to survive is they make it so that they breed and don't show up every year so that mostly the birds and other creatures that eat them don't really get a really good taste for them. And they don't hunt them down and they aren't as skilled as getting them as they could be. Now, here in the New York area, they are. They're here yearly, and they're really easy to catch by birds and things because cicadas can hardly fly. And they're big, and they go as they fly around. And you can, if you see one coming at you, you can just smack it and add it away, and it, you know, it doesn't even know you're there. And what the only thing that can happen with the cicada, and they don't bite, and they're really kind of a nothing insect, and they're also big and easy to see, unlike, say, a fly or a damn mosquito. And the only danger you have is that one might fly into your face, and you might freak out, oh, there's a cicada landing, you know, bumping into my face. But they're harmless. They don't do anything to humans. Now, if you're like a London plane tree or something, yeah, they're gonna dig into your bark and lay eggs. But, you know, unless you're a London plane tree, and I think we have very few of those listening, you don't have to worry about them. They can't damage you. So anyway, What happens is the Northern Illinois brood has a 17-year cycle. The Great Southern brood has a 13-year cycle. And the bamboo connection here is that bamboo does a similar thing, except it has a much longer amount of time between bamboo putting out its seeds. That way, again, creatures don't start showing up for the bamboo seeds and eat them all. And what happens is 17 and 13, you know, it's going to be usually 4 years between them, but it keeps going, and 17 and 13 and 17 and 13. Well, so now we're going to get both broods coming out together. And the last time they did this was in 1803. So it's been 221 years, that's the mathematics of it, since these two broods have erupted out of the trees and all. And part of what happens is they go and they lay the eggs in the trees, and then the eggs hatch and they drop down, the larva drops down and digs into the soil. So they're really coming out of the soil, and they're down there in the soil waiting for all those years. I think I dug one up once before its time, and it was very amusing to look at it. Anyway, so we're going to get all of these things and a little factoid from the New York Times. You know, they've got a trillion cicadas are going to show up, and if each is just over 1 inch long, if you put all the trillion cicadas end to end, they would be a line of cicadas 15,782,828 miles long. Oh, boy. Let's do that. Let's get anyway, so they're going to be coming out this month. When exactly they come out is determined by temperature. The soil they're in needs to reach 64 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's about 6 inches underground. 6 inches into the soil needs to get to be 64 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you need a soaking rain. And at that point, man, they start coming out like crazy. It's like one of the science fiction movies. It's like the beginning of the remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They come crawling out of whatever planet they're on, and then they launch themselves into outer space and come to the Earth. However, these things have been here a lot longer than we have, so they're not new to the Earth. So we're going to get that happening, and I'm sure there'll be a lot about it in the news. What it can do is if you get enough of them and you're driving too fast, they'll splat all over your windshield. And that can be a bit dangerous, but that's mostly the humans being stupid and not slowing down. They can cover up your windshield if enough of them are flying and you're blasting through them at 80 miles an hour so you can't see what the hell's in front of you. There we go. Insect news. On the air.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So Monday is Earth Day, or as some of us call it, Oit Day. And here's a little something. Glaciers in Greenland have receded twice as fast over the past two decades as they did in the 1900s. From 7 or 8 meters a year over 100 years ago to about 15 meters a year now. Archival images and recent satellite photographs showed the drastic acceleration. And this is from a Scientific American article. Jesus Christ, you can see this if you read things. I've read things. You know, I read old stuff online. And what happens is somebody will mention a glacier. What I tend to do these days is look the glacier up, and you can look at it, and wow, it's amazing. If you have something written about 100 years ago, or more than 100 years ago especially, the stuff written in the 19th century about glaciers is very interesting because some people were able to take photographs of them. A glacier was a good thing to take a photograph of in the 1880s and 1890s because you didn't have to worry about it moving too fast because the cameras and film in those days, they weren't so good. They were slow. And so if you had a person taking a, you know, doing a portrait of a person, photograph, you had to have a neck brace and you had to have them sit there stiffly, maybe for a minute or two, depending on the year you did it in, because photography gradually got better and better. And so we have pictures of glaciers from 100 or 120 years ago, 140 years ago, and you look at the same ones today, and some of them just aren't there. You can see some glaciers are just a patch of ice on the side of a mountain, and you can't really call it a glacier anymore. So, yeah, this stuff is going crazy. It's getting worse, and Greenland is dumping a lot of water into the ocean. And it's a big thing that's helping to raise the sea levels. And, of course, everybody's worried about Antarctica because I think it's West Antarctica is just coming apart. There are big pieces of it, large hunks of ice that are starting to come off the land and float into the water. And I've gone into it before about how that can be complicated because sometimes the big chunk of ice, first of all, if the ice is already floating, it's displaced its weight, and whatever happens to the floating ice now, it isn't going to raise the sea levels. The temperature, if the ice melts, it's the same as it is as if the ice is floating. However, the ice that's coming off the land can hit the sea in different ways. And in some cases, what the ice does is it comes off the land and it sort of digs into the mud right near the land. And that slows down the ice from getting fully sliding into the water. But they've been finding that in some cases, that's been not happening lately. And, you know, you're relying in large part on mud and rocks and debris at the bottom of the ocean there. Well, not the bottom of the whole ocean, but in the near shore of the Antarctic continent. And so it hasn't been happening all the time, and now some of those glaciers are really sliding down, and they're going to fall into the sea. And even though they won't be melted yet, they'll still be ice, they're going to displace their weight in water. So you're going to raise the sea level. So this is something that's going on that I don't know what the hell to do about. It's another one of those things. Global warming and the climate crisis are really happening. And then you've got idiots who are going around saying, oh, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's not happening. You know, Dubai isn't known for getting massive amounts of rainfall that make it flood. But that's what it's doing in the past couple of weeks. And we also have Pakistan and Afghanistan having the same thing. Massive flooding from huge amounts of rainfall that nobody can remember them having before. Now, I'm sure they did have it. I mean, one of the things about the ancient Egyptian pyramids and other kinds of things that they used to bury people in, since they had that cult of, you know, oh, death and the afterlife and the gods and all of that. And one of the things that was noted when they started digging these things up is that some of them are just a real mess. And they weren't broken into by grave robbers. The reason they were a mess was they were set up below the surface so that grave robbers wouldn't find them so easily. So they're below the surface, and they weren't set up to be dry because the climate in ancient Egypt, of course, was dry, pretty much like it is now, but probably better then. And so about every 300 years or so, Egypt would get a real gully washer. A huge rainstorm would hit, and it would cause flooding because on a desert, there's not much to soak up the water. It just goes right into the sand, and it can flow around a bit. They have wadis that spring up. They're low areas where a temporary stream will form from the rainwater that falls. And thing is, 300 years, much as 17 or 13 years for cicadas, 300 years is too long for people to remember anything. A lot of stuff in the ancient world depended on grandpa saying, now remember, don't go over there because that's where the wolves are and they'll eat you. Stuff like that. Well, nobody lives 300 years, and it's very unlikely you're going to have relatives around that will be able to pass down that piece of information that, hey, a gully washer will happen now and again. And so what happened was the rains came and they hit those underground burial chambers, and they just smashed it all, and everything got flooded and shoved up against one wall of the tomb. And that also ruined a whole lot of the ancient wooden things that they would put in there. They had very fine artwork on wooden stuff, and a lot of that got wrecked because it was there for thousands of years. And over the course of thousands of years, you get a number of 300-year gully washers. So that's what happens there. And I have a feeling that the events in Dubai and Pakistan and Afghanistan are not of the 300-year variety. They might be more of the 10 to 20-year variety, because that's the way the world's weather is changing. Oh, boy. And I don't know. You know, I'm not going to live to see the worst of this. But some of the young people are certainly going to live to see this. And it's amazing to me that there are people who have kids and even grandkids who are saying, ah, it's a hoax. Don't worry about that. It's nothing. It's meaningless. There's no global warming. There's no climate crisis. Their kids and grandkids are going to be suffering through this. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So as noted, we're coming on the air after having been preempted 2 weeks in a row, so we want to talk a little bit about the eclipse. I know it might be old news for folks. We watched the eclipse on April 8th. It was just short of 90% of a total eclipse in New York City. We hope that everyone who watched it was careful, we hope. We watched it, Pickles and I watched it from Coney Island again. We did that the last time we had an eclipse. And it was a partial then, it was a partial now. But now it was a greater amount of the sun covered by the moon. And so we went to Coney Island. Pickles of the North tried out a cracker with tiny holes in it that projected very small images of the eclipse when we indulged ourselves with some Nathan's fries. Yeah, we went to Coney Island. I haven't eaten at Nathan's in a very long time. I can't remember the last time I was there. And we went to Nathan's and we got some fries. I didn't want to get a hot dog because they're too damned expensive. We splurged to get the fries, and I shouldn't probably have eaten those, but, you know, what the hell. It's the big eclipse celebration. It helped us to chase away the demons that were covering the moon, covering the sun. And I read in the New York Times somebody who's a, what are they, the Hare Krishnas. And the guy is, it was a woman, she's talking about, oh, and we believe that the demon, I don't know, Ragu or some kind of crappy thing, the demon is covering up the sun and we have to hide inside to hope that the demon goes away. Really, we're almost at the end of the first quarter of the 21st century, and you want to be a part of something that believes that crap? Ugh. Anyway, So there we were. We went there. We had some Nathan's fries. And then we went to Seaside Park on the boardwalk. And we used our new eclipse glasses to watch the whole thing, as opposed to the previous eclipse glasses, which we still have, which may still work. So there were a lot more people watching it there than had been around for the previous one in 2017. I think this one got a lot more press. And also it was in the spring, and it was October last time. And it occurred at a time when school could get out. The last time, I believe it happened at a time when school was in and it wasn't getting pushed all that much. But at this point, the peak of it occurred around here at 3:25 in the afternoon, so the kids are out. It started just after 2 o'clock. So just after it started, the kids are out. So we had a lot of them. We had adults, too, and everybody's watching it. And, oh, boy, I tried to take pictures this time, but I really screwed up this time. I don't know. I think it's old age. There are things I screw up these days because I'm an old fart. And I couldn't get even a halfway decent picture. We were able to see it, though. I mostly used a mirror that I looked at with the eclipse glasses, because with a mirror you can still hurt your eyes. And I looked at it with that because looking up in the sky is not something I'm good at anymore, because I have to crane my neck, and I've got enough arthritis in my neck that, ugh, what a mess. What a drag it is getting old. And so we watched it all, and it was great stuff to see. In 2017, there were not nearly as many people there. And about the cracker thing, we saw this on TV, and they said, hey, during an eclipse with a cracker like a saltine or something like that, if you have if it has those tiny holes in it that they put in crackers – well, you hold that so that the sunlight shines through it, and the tiny holes are tiny enough that they can focus the light decently enough. Another thing you can do is make a little pinhole in something. Some people make a pinhole in aluminum foil, and they have it on the end of a cardboard tube, and then they shine that on something like a flat piece of paper or whatever. We did it on a table at Nathan's. We probably should have had a white piece of paper. We didn't. Screwed up again. Anyway, so you Pickles said that looks interesting, and she brought a cracker with us, and she held it up, and it worked. You could vaguely see the beginning of the eclipse, and you see all these little eclipsed suns on the table there. So yeah, I have a graphic of that, and I'm going to post it. So there you go.
And it was a wonderful experience. We saw the beginning of twilight. We felt the air get very much cooler than it had been.
Yeah.
And hold on to all your eclipse solar glasses, because there's going to be a partial eclipse that will be visible from New York City and other spots next year and the year after that. And then after that, there'll be one in 2033. So you might need new glasses by then. And there was a wonderful program that gave out free glasses at all the public library branches. And I'm pretty sure they were giving them out at the schools too. So it was a wonderful experience. My youngest brother and his lovely wife got to see the total eclipse. And it was a glorious experience for them.
They had to chase it, though.
They had to chase it, but they didn't have to chase it very far. And it was an amazing experience for them. And it is, as they say, life changing.
Ah, yeah, I've never been in a total eclipse. It's possible that this was the most eclipsed eclipse I've ever seen. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, there it is. And the temperature drop was amazing to me. I was dressed in a kind of spring jacket that has a hood on it. It can be a little heavy for spring. I was so glad I wore that, because as the sun is getting eclipsed, the temperature drop was tremendous. Plus, what happens is the temperature lowers, and that makes more clouds, We didn't have a perfect view of it. There were clouds. There were, you know, mostly thin clouds, but there were clouds around. And I noticed that as the eclipse went on, we got more clouds, which is natural because as the temperature drops in the atmosphere, the water starts condensing into clouds. And then the eclipse was over and it went away and bang, the opposite happened. All the clouds cleared up because it wasn't so cold anymore. It was dramatically, I think it dropped like 20 degrees in Coney Island in the time between about 2 o'clock and about 3:25. It was really brisk. Okay, here's a very fast take on some things that are going on. One of them is they're confiscating a whole load of e-bikes in the Bronx and around New York City. And e-bikes and the ATVs and mopeds and all these things that are illegal. Now, a lot of the e-bikes aren't illegal yet. They should be. They should require a license on these things because it's a motor vehicle. It has a motor in it. And some of these things can go 28 miles an hour. It is not uncommon for them to zip along at 15 miles an hour. You get some 175-pound guy on top of a 50-pound e-bike, and he comes slamming around a corner on the sidewalk and hits you. Yeah, that can mess you up, especially if you're an old fart like me. I get hit by something like that, and oh, man, you know, I could get killed from that. And so, yeah, so I'm saying confiscate those damn things, especially the ATVs and the mopeds and all of that stuff, because you have these guys who get together and usually in the middle of the night, in fact, it's Friday as we're recording this, so tonight I am certain we are going to hear in Brooklyn a whole crowd of about 50 of these yahoos charging down a local avenue and making lots and lots of noise because they want to annoy people. And I don't know, maybe it's just penis envy on their part. In any event, I'm glad they're cracking down on those things, and I hope they take all of those confiscated vehicles and crush them up and turn them into mulch or something. Also, of course, you've got this proliferation of badly made batteries for the e-bikes that are catching fire constantly, and a lot of fires are happening, and some people die from these damn things. So good, get those things. And we just heard that New York State is authorizing, I don't know how this has to work, the sheriff's office to empower the New York Police Department to shut down illegal pot stores.
Good Lord. Do you know how many illegal pot stores there are in the five boroughs?
A lot.
I think it's something like 1,500. You know how many in Brooklyn out of those 1,500 are legitimate? Eight.
We don't have any of those around us, but we've got a ton of the illegal ones. Oh, boy, are they ever. And, you know, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I'm glad about that. First of all, I don't like having to smell that stuff. Pot in the old days was one thing. Pot these days, it stinks. It's horrible. I would really prefer it if people developed a culture of, you know, eating gummies or something. Eating it, that's fine. Go eat it. Get high. I don't care. But don't make me smell that crap. Ugh. Anyway, so yeah, so they're going to shut down those illegal pot stores, which also, of course, those illegal stores mess up the people who are supposed to be getting helped by the law that was passed allowing recreational marijuana and saying who can sell it. And, yeah, maybe they should be, you know, licensing more stores, but we know that almost all of the stores that are around now are illegal. They're just the same pot dealers who are, you know, on the corner going, hey, you want to loose joints. I remember that used to be you would pass by guys, and they'd, like, hold their hands over their mouths or look in a newspaper and say, loose joints, and or Lucy's. Lucy's. You know, Yeah, because the cops won't pick them up for that if they say Lucy's instead of joints. Anyway, and so, oh boy, those same guys are doing a big business now. And I think it's very, very, very unfair to people who have spent a lot of money, sometimes their life savings, to set up a legal business, and now they're being undercut by these criminals. So, yeah, that's a mess, too. And then you've got also something we haven't seen yet. The mayor wants to put up the gun-detecting stuff in the subway. That ain't gonna work. This isn't the TSA. This isn't an airport. You know, you're lucky if you get people lining up at all. Generally, it's a mob. If there are a lot of people, you get a mob hitting the turnstiles, some of them jumping over the turnstiles, and trying to get everybody, okay, now everybody go through this. Yeah, that's just not going to work out, I don't think. Plus, they're metal detectors. What do you do when people walk through and, you know, from other things, somebody has jewelry on them, and some people wear a ridiculous amount of jewelry, and they're going to set it off. Another guy's going to have something else. You can't tell people, okay, put your metal stuff on a conveyor belt and it'll come here. No, you can't do that in the subway. Is the mayor nuts? Anyway. So there are three little things I wanted to say something about, and I have done so. And something else. This past week, partially convicted double murderer O.J. Simpson died. He should have died in prison. That was just a terrible whole thing. You know, and they're still fighting the family of the guy he killed. And, oh, God. He was a terrible person, and he should have gone to prison 30 years ago and stayed there and died in prison. Donnie Bonespur Trump is currently on trial for 34 felonies, alleging that he repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to cover up his hush money payment of $130,000 to a porn star with whom he'd had a very brief fling. He also paid off a former Playboy model and a former Trump Tower doorman who'd been a witness to some of this stuff. Yeah, be careful. Be careful, rich people. The little people can see what you're doing, and they might decide to sell the story somewhere. Ugh. Anyway, so yeah, all this is going on here, and he's finally in a criminal trial, and he has to be there, and he does not like that. He can't be out campaigning during the hours when he's in court. And, oh boy, also, he can't stay awake. He's shown that he can't even pay attention to what's going on in his own criminal trial. He keeps passing out, falling asleep, nodding off. Oh, man, this is what you want as a president? Jesus, some people do because they're idiots. And, yeah, he's falling asleep. And as of today, Friday, the full jury has been selected. And one of them is actually a follower of Trump on his phony baloney Truth Social site. What? I would have said, no, you can't be on. You're a follower of his. You know, geez, that's like prosecuting one of these sky pilots who has a big church and he's stolen the money. And then you have one of his parishioners who comes in and you put that person on the jury. I think that one person is probably that's on here for the Truth Social follower. She is probably going to just dig in and say not guilty no matter what. And I suspect that will result in a hung jury because I think there's probably a ton of evidence. And I think that what will happen is everybody will say, you know, you shouldn't have let that one ringer get in there. She's one of his pals. Jeez, what the hell? Why not put one of his cronies on there? Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so I think there's going to be a problem there. And the actual trial is going to start on Monday. Yes, Earth Day. On Monday, the trial actually starts. However, it's possible Trump is going to try something to mess that up. He wants to delay this stuff. Of course, that's going to mean he has to sit there through his delays. That's a good part of it. And, oh boy, so we'll see. They're going to try and start the actual trial on Monday. And Trump keeps committing contempt of court. But prosecutors are only asking that the judge fine him $1,000 for each post he makes that violates the gag order. Mostly what he's doing is posting on his Truth Social thing, which, by the way, they did an IPO on it. They're going to make it go public. And the stock price on that thing plummeted in nothing flat. And, oh, boy, it was worth so many billions, and it's not worth that much money anymore. But anyway, you know, he's posting up there, and the prosecutors are only calling for him to be fined $1,000 for each post he makes. That's no punishment for him. I mean, and so there's no wonder why he keeps doing it. And also, he'll probably get somebody else to pay the fines for him anyway. He shouldn't be able to do contempt of court, to violate the judge's orders, to attack people, to try to intimidate jurors, and just get fined a paltry amount of money. What to do? Lock him up! Lock him up! Yes, lock him up. I mean, he's already the first former president of the United States who's gone on trial for a crime. Well, let him be the first one that gets sent to jail for contempt of court. Let him sit there. They can let him sit in a room with the Secret Service, and he can come out and, you know, put him in a cell. He can have the Secret Service as cellmates, and he gets prison food and nothing special. And if there's a if contempt of court people who go to jail get prison outfits, then he has to wear a prison uniform. Jail outfits. He's not in prison yet. I hope he goes to prison. But really, this is amazing stuff here that they're letting him get away with this, and I don't like that. Also, we're hearing right now, just a little bit ago, since we're recording this on Friday, some deranged person from St. Augustine, Florida, has set himself on fire outside the courthouse. He'd posted a manifesto before he lit himself on fire. Predictably, it was full of conspiracy hoax nonsense. And he did his flaming thing outside the courthouse to get attention for his ramblings. He's in critical condition in a hospital because he used an alcohol-based cleaning fluid to light himself up, and alcohol doesn't burn nearly as hot as gasoline does. If he'd lit himself up, if he doused himself with that much gasoline and lit it, he wouldn't be around right now. Even though the cops and fire department rushed over to put out the fire, they wouldn't have gotten there in time. He would have lost enough of his skin to be either dead or dead real soon. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Ah, geez, it's a nice early spring morning. We got a false dawn. I hear something. In the distance, I hear something. I haven't heard this sound for like 3 weeks. What? Oh, it's the WBAI pitching train chugging its way in. Oh, and it has pitching hobos on it. Oh, boy, that means the pitching hobos are going to ask you for money. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio. And what that means is we don't have commercials on the air and stuff like that. It means we are sponsored by you, the listeners. And so what we have to do is ask you, the listeners, to call 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Back of the Book is the name of this radio program, and WBAI is the name of this radio station. WBAI is listener-sponsored, and the way we raise money to keep it all going is we get on the air and we ask you, the listeners, to support the station. We're asking you to become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is a name we have for our sustaining membership at WBAI. What happens is you, as a sustaining member or a BAI buddy, as they're called, you will donate once a month to WBAI. And the way you do it is this. You call 1-212-209-2950 and you tell the people who pick up at the call center, we owe them money too, that you tell the people at the call center that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what happens then is they will ask you for your credit card or debit card information, and you will tell them how much you want to donate. And it can be $10 or more. So $10, $15, $20 a month. And then they'll get your information, and then you'll tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card billed. And if you can do $10 or $15 a month or $20 a month, that would be very good. If you can do more, that'd be wonderful. But I think a lot of people can't do more. And so what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950, and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy. Okay, that will get credited to this radio program, and management is compiling a big list of who's raising what. Oh, boy. And so what you do is you call them up and you do that. And it's a way of saying you want to see Back of the Book stay on WBAI, and you want to see WBAI stay on the air. We're in a bit of a pickle right now because we have gotten in arrears to both the tower at 4 Times Square, and all they have to do is flip a switch. The power goes off to our transmitter, and we're off the air completely. Also, we owe the call center money. Those are the people who are going to be picking up the phone, and you're going to tell them you want to pledge some amount of money every month. And we owe those people money. So we got to raise that stuff. Otherwise, we're either going to be completely off the air or we're not going to be able to raise money anymore. That's going to be very serious. And there are various people who are saying, you know, we should do drastic things about BAI. Now, we're on from 5 to 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Overnight radio, it goes from midnight to 6 a.m. So we are considered overnight radio. One proposal people have been making for a couple of years is that WBAI should basically rent out the air between midnight and 6 a.m. There are various companies and even other radio stations that would like to be able to broadcast in New York City from midnight to 6 a.m. 7 days a week. 7 nights a week. And yeah, they would pay money for that. And that's one way of funding the station. But that would mean that all of the overnight radio programs would be gone. And that doesn't just mean us. That means all of the overnight programs. So you would have 42 hours a week of BAI not being BAI anymore. Oh, boy. Is that worth it? Is that something good? Certainly, if you're listening to this program, it wouldn't be good. And if you listen on the stream or if you listen on the archives only, well, if we're not on the air, there won't be any archives or any stream either. So over the air isn't the only way you get us these days. So please, if you could, please consider calling 1-212-209-2950, and you can, in fact, make a one-time donation if you want to. And our friend Seth did that very recently. Seth, thank you, Seth, for having made a donation. And also thanks to David. And yeah, David, we're trying to get you your premium there. And also thanks to Tony and Bettina, who have made donations. And we're asking you all who are listening right now, please, please consider calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Now, you can also go and pledge online, but then it's more complicated. You have to remember to choose Back of the Book as the radio program you want to get credited for this. And management is putting up lists of who makes what. I hope their lists are accurate. And so, yeah, this is a thing we need you to do for us now. We need you to call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And if you do that, oh, it will help us a whole lot. 1-212-209-2950. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, Again with David Kenny.
Again, 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 David Kenny, David Kenny. We're going to get some more spring-like weather, I'm hoping, pretty soon here. Try to enjoy the spring here. Oh, it's wonderful. We're in mid-spring now. This is a great time of year, so enjoy it if you can. And above all, remember what that... Watching spotted lanternflies get high on the pot smoke, Dormouse said.
WBAI listeners and supporters.
If you appreciate interacting with members of the WBAI local station board, tune in Tuesday, April 23rd
from 7 p.m.
to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024
from the WBAI local station board.
This month, you'll be introduced to some of the LSB officers and the PMB directors.
They'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI.
Don't let this opportunity pass you by.
So mark that date on your calendar.
Tuesday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024 from the WBAI local station board.
Only on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
Join us for Earth Day and promote world peace and unity at Planet Heart's 16th Annual World Peace Earth Day Celebration, themed Awakening Humanity's Consciousness for a Better Planet. It's a spiritual community gathering honoring Mother Earth, featuring insightful talks, uplifting music, sound healing, indigenous ceremonies, and more. That's Sunday, April 21st, 3 p.m. sharp to 6:30 p.m. at the Church of the Village, 201 West 13th Street in New York City. For tickets and info, visit www.planetheart.org or call 212-222-5432. That's 212-222-5432.
On Wednesday, April 24, 2024, veteran Black Panther, distinguished author, award-winning radio journalist, and U.S.-held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal of Philadelphia turned 70 years old in his 42nd year in prison. The Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition plans to be in Philadelphia to demand his release, marking 70 years of resistance in the city of so-called brotherly love, Philadelphia. For bus tickets and details, go to freemumia.com. That's freemumia.com or call our hotline, 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029. When we fight, we win. Release all political prisoners.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1045.